morning. I think that my sermon has already been preached several times this morning. We really are today looking at 2017 and all the things that have happened. And we're looking on how we should go into 2018 with the optimism and the courage and the faith that keeps us moving forward in our walk with the Lord. And as I was spending my time with the Lord, He too had me remembering these things. He had me remembering Jeff's teachings, the 4 weeks of Advent. He had me remember our Christmas Eve service here with candlelight and the reading of the birth of Jesus from the Gospel of Luke and the Christmas carols that we sang. And what a wonderful time we had that night together worshiping the Lord. And as I was spending my time with the Lord was showing me some things that directly apply to me and to you, and maybe give us some insight about how we should look at 2018 as we move forward. And you'll remember that the birth of Jesus was told to us in two different Gospels, the Gospel of Luke, the physician, so eloquent, how his Greek is renowned as some of the finest in history, and how eloquently he wrote about this birth. And it's also taken in the view of how it affected Mary and how the angel Gabriel came to her. And his first words to her were, "Mary, do not be afraid, for you have found favor with the Lord." How faithful is God? And how important is it when his angel's first words to Mary and to us is, "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with the Lord." That changed her life forever, and ours too. Because this didn't happen simply, did it? Her obedience and her willingness to walk in faith and be obedient to what the angel told her was going to happen came to her in reality, and her physical being and everything else was changed forever. The scandal, the accusations, the fact that her husband, betrothed, thought that she had committed adultery. Can you imagine her confusion at that moment, not knowing how it would play out? As God always does, He asks us to do something. But He never tells me, and I doubt if He tells you, "Okay, this is how you're going to do it, and this is what's going to happen." You and I step out in faith, and we trust the details to God, just as Mary did. But there's also the Gospel of Matthew, who looks at Jesus' birth from a different viewpoint. Matthew Levi. He was a former tax collector and hated by his fellow Jews. He was called to be a disciple of Jesus. And then he was sent as an apostle to be a witness to all the world with all the rest of us and the other apostles. But that too, he is trying to speak to his fellow Jews to show them that this Jesus Christ is the answer to their long-awaited promise of a Messiah. And as he unfolds here, he takes a look at this totally different than what Luke did. And in typical Jewish fashion, he starts off with the genealogy of Jesus, all the way from Abraham and King David, all the way down to Joseph. And immediately after that, he starts into this birth. But the way it's portrayed here is not the same verbiage as how it was played out in the Gospel of Luke. And I want to just read this to you for a minute, and then I'm going to take you to a point of application. And so in the first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, in the 18th verse, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet," that's the prophet Isaiah, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. "And when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus." I didn't just read this to you this morning because we're creatures of repetitive learning, and so we thought maybe one more run by it might stick a little better. I read this to you because when I read this and when I was talking to God as I read this, it struck me that God was telling me, not so fast. Don't let the miracle of Christmas go so quickly, Gary. Because actually, in this celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, that celebration should stay in your heart all year long. And you should go into the new year singing the praises of what God has done for us. And the faithfulness of Mary and Joseph. What would have happened if either of those had not trusted the Lord and stepped out in faith? Because Joseph faced a crisis of his own, did he not? He faced a scoundrel with his... the scandal was going to impact his whole life. In Jewish communities, what worse could happen to them right now in the middle of their betrothal than for it to come out that somehow they may have been sexually involved, committed sin, or that Mary committed adultery? And how easy would it have been for Joseph to say, "Hey, I had none of this," and walk up with the writ of divorcement and two witnesses and put an end to it, and save his family and himself any of the ramifications of what this is doing? When the angel spoke to Joseph, don't you think that he knew all of this? Just like Mary knew, this was a life-changing moment. But Joseph also chose to be obedient to the Lord and in faith trust the Lord. And not only when he woke did he do what God told him to do, but he took Mary as his wife, and he took Jesus as his son, and he named him Jesus. And as Pastor Jeff had talked over the Christmas holidays about Emmanuel, God with us, that's who he is, and Jesus, God saves, that's what he did, I started to reflect with God and talk to him about, what is it I can take away from this, Lord, to make it special this year for me? And he showed me that the passage that is in Matthew was a quote from the prophet Isaiah in the 7th chapter. But this time, too, was not isolated from the world. And in this serene environment, this, too, was a time of turmoil. And Isaiah quotes that messianic promise in the midst of a brewing warfare. This didn't take place in a time of peace and tranquility. And as we look at chapter 7 in the prophet Isaiah's writing, we notice this as he starts off, "In the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, king of Judah, Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to wage war against it, but could not yet mount an attack against it. When the house of David was told, 'Syria is in league with Ephraim,' the heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind." The same fear response that we have seen with Mary and Joseph now gripped all of the people of the kingdom of Judah. "And the Lord said to Isaiah, 'Go out to meet Ahaz, you and Shear-Jashub,'" whose name I probably slaughtered, "'your son, at the end of the conduit to the upper pool on the highway to the washer's field, and say to him, be careful, be quiet, do not fear, and do not let your heart be faint because of these two smoldering stumps of firebrands, at the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and the son of Remaliah, because Syria with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah has devised evil against you, saying, let us go against Judah and terrify it, and let us conquer it for ourselves and set up the son of Tabeel as king in the midst of it. Thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand, and it shall not come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years, Ephraim will be shattered from being a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. If you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. And to complement that prophecy of victory that should have given Ahaz confidence, God has more to say to him. "Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, 'Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven.' But Ahaz said, 'I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test.' And he said, 'Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.'" The same verse that was quoted by Matthew in the birth of Jesus. This verse was originally quoted by the prophet Isaiah, and the circumstances of the world weren't perfect for such. Sometimes the Lord can offer us things like he did to Ahaz, and not only say, look, none of this is going to stand. Don't be afraid of these armies. Believe that God prevails in this circumstance, Ahaz. And to show you this, ask of me anything. Anything. How would that affect you and I? If God sent a prophet or God spoke to us in our time with him and he said, don't be afraid. Ask anything of me. Anything. Let it be as low as Sheol or let it be as high as heaven. And we just said, no, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I think I'll trust my own wits, my alliances with the merging kingdom of Assyria. We'll run this through in our own will and in our own time. And then the prophet says, fine, if you don't want to take God up on his promise now, I'll give you another sign. And he quotes a sign that comes true 700 years later. What does this say to you and I? To me, it says this. As I look out at you this year, there are some of you who have had a good year in 2017. Your family relationships have stayed strong and are growing. Your faith with the Lord has been rewarded by God's faithfulness to you. And when you sing these songs of praise, your heart leaps up because immediately you call to mind all that God has done for you. What a great year it was for you. And you are returning that to him in praise. But this year of 2017 has not been that way for us all. Our church family here has suffered the loss of some good men and women of God. And although we have the confidence of where they are, the pain of the separation lingers with us still. Some of us even to tears. And things may not have gone well with our family. Things may not have gone well financially, relationally. And we come here today in what we feel is great need. And we have been talking to the Lord in prayer saying, Lord, help me through this time of health problems, this time of loss of a spouse, this time of heart attacks to our relatives, this time of hurt and pain. I can see where the promises here that you're talking about work really well for those people who had a good year and things went well. But for us as a church family, we have suffered loss. And how do we look at this Christmas story as we go forth into 2018? And my message to you from the Lord is, the Lord was present in the circumstances of the birth of Jesus Christ. He was there in the circumstances that Mary had. He did not save her from the ridicule. He did not fix it so that her reputation and everything was taken care of. He did not save Joseph from what was going to happen in his life. Joseph still experienced those negative impacts on him and his family. But they were faithful. They did what the Lord had given them to do. And we celebrate that every year. Their obedience in the face of all that life threw at them, God used to change the world. With the birth of Jesus Christ, everything changed. From promises in the Old Testament to a real-life human being walking the earth that manifested those promises of the Old Testament. And as he taught in ministry for those 3.5 years with Matthew, whose gospel we look at, 3.5 years. And the ending, which just we did not see coming. Matthew and his fellow Jews thought this guy was going to come and save them from the Romans. None of that happened. None of them saw it coming. And in the last weeks of his ministry, the disciples were still arguing over who was going to be greater. They just didn't get it. But after the death and resurrection of Jesus, when they had seen the risen Lord, and when their hearts and minds were opened up to all those promises that God has made and the revelation of how they were done exactly as God had said it would be, they went out as witnesses of Jesus Christ, and they turned the world upside down. And so my message to you this morning is, don't look at the circumstances and how big they are, because your God is bigger. Don't look in your own wisdom to figure out the problems in your life. Seek God and His Word and come to the conclusions to your problems and the answers to your problems on your knees. That gives you a unique perspective that you'll not find anywhere else except in submission before the Lord, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as you cry out your needs to Him. He will answer, and He will take you through whatever problems you see. And God's name will be glorified in the earth. And I want to leave you with this. The whole Bible has a theme. And God repeatedly says to His people, I will be your God. You will be my people, and I will dwell in your midst. And this morning, He is our God. We are His people, and He dwells in our midst. You and I are proof to the world that God is real, that His salvation is real, that lives can be changed by God, and that we are not the people we would have been or could have been, except that Jesus now has put us on the path to eternal life with Him. And also, as a witness, still, just like the apostle, we are witnesses to the world. And how we live our life, how we depend upon the promises and the glory of God to see us through, and how even in the toughest times, we trust in the Lord, because He lives with us. He dwells in us. Have courage in 2018. Don't deny the problems. And don't deny the hurt of loss. But enter 2018 with a heart full of hope, because we have seen again and again that what God promises, He always fulfills. And so 2018 will be a glorious year for us. I have seen you, my brothers and sisters, and how you love the Lord, how you love each other. That is what the world must see in God's people. Enter 2018 with hope and love. And let every day be a glorious day that you live out for the Lord and for His glory. And trust Him, just as Joseph and Mary did, that all things will come to pass exactly as He intends for your life. Let us pray. My Lord and my God, help us to realize the significance of what you have done and what you have put in your book to encourage us that each year, no matter how the world counts it, you will still be with us. And we can enter with boldness and hope, trusting you that you will take care of all things. Give us a heart to love you. Let us be salt and life before those that we come in contact with. May they see our heart of love for you. May they see our heart of love for each other here. And more importantly, may they see our heart of love that you have given us for them. And that will bring about the glory of God on earth as we step out in faith to walk obediently and humbly before you. May this day be a blessing for each one here. And may tomorrow's be a blessing to everyone else we come in contact with. For the glory and in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Gary. It seems fitting that we end our last Sunday service of 2017 with a song of praise again to our Lord. So let's stand, shall we, and just with our simple doxology, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Let's sing it.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Close our service with prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, we are here gathered in your name, gathered to worship you, gathered among brothers and sisters. Our eyes are focused on you. We reflect on the goodness of the holidays, of the amazing story of the birth of your Son, on the redemption and the reconciliation that he came to bring, that those things that we experience, we live out right here, right now. And we set our gaze on the next year. And we go out from here, Lord, as your people, loved by you, forgiven by you, justified by you, redeemed by you, adopted into your eternal household. May we testify to that in everything we do. And whatever crisis, whatever joy, whatever turmoil, whatever blessing comes our way, that in the midst of that we would find our hope, our endurance, our strength in you and you alone. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.